Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Is everybody sitting? Please rise and give God praise. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We'll get back up again in a little bit. Oh, it's so good to be here. It really is. Well, we have the angel tree cards that are on the tree. I need some giving in the name of the Lord music, whatever you want to do. Well, you can just play whatever you want to play. You ready? Yeah, come. Hey, come on, get these cards. Come get the card. Do I? Yes. Make it special for these kids. Amen. Amen. How many of you were not able to get a card? Lift your hand if you were not able to give a card. Get a card. If you weren't able to get one of these cards, lift your hand. All right, you can give $100 in the offering. No, I'm messing with you. Are you a visitor?
I'm Stevie's wife.
Stevie's wife. Yeah. Hey, Stevie's wife. Hey,
Jackie.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
You want to give $100?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm just teasing, but
yeah.
You can give whatever you want.
Okay.
God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, we still have, we don't have any more cards for the families, but we do have needy people that we are trying to help during the holidays. And if you want to give an offering toward that and just say Christmas gift and, well, don't say that. Say Christmas. What do we need to say? What do we need to say, brother? Angel tree. There you go. Who said that? You're a thinker. You're the thinker. That is so good. If you want to do that, and that will go into a special fund to help those that are coming a little bit later and saying, well, we need this, we need that. Well, are you ready? Three of you are. I need all of you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, welcome your youth and children's pastor, Austin. Come on up. Love you, brother.
Well, I have to say that God has a sense of humor because last week, Pastor Terry didn't get to start till 11:20, and the one who does the shortest sermons is starting at 11:02. So that's the way it works, I guess. Thankful for early departure, right? That's what we're thankful for this morning. No, I'm thankful to be able to speak today. You know, I want to obviously thank my parents for being here. You know, thank my wife and yeah. And but I wanted to start today by giving a special thank you to you as a church. You know, we've been here for not quite 4 years yet, but you couldn't tell it. Feels like we've been here our whole lives. Some of the relationships that my family and I have been able to develop here is relationships we'll have for the rest of our lives, you know, and so we're thankful for that, and we're just thankful to you as a congregation, as friends, as family, so thank you. Thank you for that. So, of course, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to speak on or what God wanted me to speak on, it took a while. It took a while to figure it out. And then, of course, it's around Thanksgiving. So I thought, well, why don't I preach about what we're thankful for? And while I was thinking about it, I thought, there's going to be sermons all across the country about we should be thankful for our friends and our families and the blessings that God gives us and all of the great and beautiful and good things that he gives us. And that's true. And we should be thankful for those things. And I'm glad that we are talking about those things today. But the Lord put a little something a little heavier on my heart this morning to be thankful for. Because Scripture tells us that yes, we should be thankful for Jesus. We should be thankful for family. We should be thankful for friends. We should be thankful for health, safety, shelter. We should be thankful for all of those things that God has blessed us with. But it also tells us we should be thankful for it all. We should be grateful for the good, for the bad, for the ugly things in life. We should be thankful for all of the things that Christ brings into our life. So I'm reminded of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And when I read this verse, I hear it as the key word I want to focus in on is joy. Having joy. We just sown joy to the world. We talked about, Pastor Terry Wilson talked about, this is the season of joy. And I think sometimes we misdefine what joy means. We mix joy with this other word that the world really likes to push forward, happiness. Happiness is dependent upon your situation, right? Happiness is dependent on what's happening in your life. But joy is constant. Joy in the Lord is constant no matter what is happening. And when I was thinking about this and I was really contemplating and I was reading James over and over, I was reminded of a dear friend, one of my best friends for years, like a brother. And him and his wife, quite a few years ago, lost a child at 20 weeks. And I remember, you know, talking with him, sitting with him, having conversations with him. And in that moment, just the grief, the devastation, the confusion, the hurt, the trying to figure out where to go. And it was such a testimony because the whole time he's like, I know that God's got us. And I know that God has a plan and God's going to use this for a purpose. There's going to be a reason that this happened, that God's going to use that. And I remember having conversations with him. And I remember them saying, you know, we only want to have one child. That's all we want to have. And so when they lost that child, it was an arrow to the heart. And they didn't know. There was a time where I could see where he was kind of lost. Is this not meant to be? Are we not meant to have kids? And in that situation, it's hard to want to try to have another. Right? You're scared to experience that loss again. But later, they became pregnant again. And of course, that fear, the trepidation, the concern of, here we go again, what's going to happen? And thank the Lord, they had a wonderful, healthy pregnancy, and that baby was born, that baby girl was born. And I think about this story because That totally impacted them as people. It impacted everything about them. That is a scar that they'll always wear. But they found joy in the Lord. They found a way to rest on the Lord and the Lord to bring them through that and be thankful for the Lord. And so she'll post on social media, birthdays, special events, just even sometimes randomly, and she'll say, "Without Jackson, which was the boy she lost, we wouldn't have Kennedy." And let me get a sip real quick. And, you know, that is just, that's a powerful way to look at that story and say, Look at how God is working in their life. Because she was saying Kennedy would not exist if Jackson had not passed. That doesn't make her thankful for Jackson's passing, but that helps her realize the joy in the Lord and how the Lord will use anything that the earth tries to use against us, the turmoils in this life to bring us down. He will use those things for the greater good. He will use those for a purpose. He will continue to help us grow. And so when I was thinking about their story, and I think about stories in Scripture, which is full of these stories where people face trials and tribulations, and then God blesses them, God uses them and continues to write their story and continues to use them for his purpose, one person came into mind, Joseph. The Old Testament Joseph. And I'm going to try my best in about 2 or 3 minute summary of Joseph's life. Okay, I'm not going to hit everything. There's a lot of chapters in the Bible about it. But Joseph, when he was a little boy, right, he was the favorite. He was his daddy's favorite. And not intentionally, but he let his brothers know it too. I'm my daddy's favorite. They knew he was the favorite, right? We know the coat of many colors. That was just a representation of his father's favoritism towards him as a person. Well, his brothers get jealous, and they say, we're going to kill him. I'm tired of listening to him. He's telling us these dreams, how we're bowing down to him. I don't want anything to do with him. So they said they're going to sell him. They're going to kill him. Well, then one of the brothers says, why don't we just sell him into slavery? Let's fake his death. Let's put him in this pit. So they fake his death. They put him in this pit, and then somebody comes by. They say, you know what? We got a slave here. We're going to sell you. So they sell their brother into slavery, fake his death, take that colorful coat back to their father with animal blood on it, and say, he got attacked by a wild animal. He's gone. Right? And his father is just overcome with grief. Right? And that's an important thing. We'll wrap back around there too. So after he's sold, he ends up working in the house of Potiphar, who was a high official under the Pharaoh. And he's a faithful worker. He's a faithful worker. Well, Potiphar's wife takes an interest in him and wants him to sleep with her. And she makes advance after advance. And finally, one day, she catches him in the house. She grabs him and she's like, lay with me, Joseph. And he runs out of his coat. Take notes, men. Take notes. Left his coat. Just imagine how fast he was trying to get out of that situation, that he ran literally out of his clothes to get out of there. Well, of course, the wife tells Potiphar, look, he left his jacket in here. He was trying to make advances with me. She was mad that he wouldn't sleep with her. So then Potiphar had him thrown into prison. And he's in prison, and he works his way up in the prison. And he's basically the warden's best man, best friend. He's doing everything in the prison. Right, and in that prison, he does some dream interpreting. Like I said, there's a lot going on. He does some dream interpreting. He ends up getting connected with the Pharaoh. He goes to the Pharaoh, interprets the Pharaoh's dream, and the Pharaoh says, since you interpret it, I'm putting you second in command. Everything here is under your authority. The only authority you're under here on earth is me. So we're talking about a boy who was sold into slavery is now a man who's second in all of Egypt. And we can look at this story and say, man, Joseph, man, lucky Joseph, right? He gets to do this. But it's all about perspective. Was he that lucky? Not only was he sold into slavery, he was betrayed by the very people that he thought he could trust. Betrayed by the people that he loved, that he grew up with, and they sold him into slavery. And see, what joy does is it helps us find comfort in the grief. It helps us find peace in the chaos. While Joseph was faithful to the Lord and he saw the way the Lord was blessing that by putting him second in command and getting him out of prison, he also still wore the grief of betrayal. He still thought about his brothers and how they sold him into slavery. But when he had that joy and those conversations with the Lord, Joseph didn't become bitter. He said, Lord, more than anything, I just want to see my brothers again, right? We see that he wants to see his brothers. Because when his brothers show back up to get food for the famine, he doesn't say, I'm gonna sentence them to death. I don't want them here. He has to hold himself back from just running to them and wrapping them up because they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. He was a boy, and now he's a grown man. And so Joseph allowed that relationship with the Father, that joy that comes from the Lord, help him get through that grief of betrayal and help him look and say, all I want to be is be reconciled with them. I am thankful that you've brought me to where I am, Lord, and I'm thankful that you've reconciled me with my brothers. Finding that gratitude in that turmoil, finding gratitude for the Lord when the tribulations of life hit us. I want to read Genesis 50:20. And it says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about his present result, to preserve many people alive. This is a powerful statement that Joseph gives to his brothers when he's reconnected with them. You meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. The past doesn't matter anymore. It shaped who I am. It's always a part of me, but it's God has brought me to where I am now for a purpose. And Joseph is expressing his gratitude for that. In that last line, to preserve many people alive. Joseph looks at the situation and says, if they hadn't have sold me into slavery, I wouldn't have ended up under Potiphar. I wouldn't have ended up in prison. I wouldn't have interpreted dreams for Pharaoh's people, and I wouldn't interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And there's a chance we have a epidemic going on where people are just dying in droves because we didn't store up the food for the famine. But because the Lord brought me here and had me interpret the Pharaoh's dream, we stored up the food, and now this nation is still thriving, even though we are in years of famine. That's what he's saying, to preserve many people alive, and that's finding the gratitude. Now, the hard part is finding that when it doesn't come immediately, right? Go back to James chapter 1. It says, James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It creates patience within us to understand that there is a greater purpose. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like. Right? And sometimes, you know, we get frustrated. Lord, I don't understand. What have I done to deserve this? Why is this happening? I need to, you know, we want to see the results quickly. Joseph was sold into slavery as a boy, as a young boy. And he didn't see the fruits of that, what God was doing with that, until years and years later. And there's something in us that we want to see immediate results. Lord, I get that you're doing something here. You're going to use this for your purpose, but I need to understand it now. But Joseph would not have been able to lead and be the man that he was unless those things happened to him. Unless that situation occurred to him and led him to that moment, he would have not been able to do that. He would have not been able to successfully interpret the Pharaoh's dreams and successfully help Egypt survive as a nation. See, after all that turmoil he had been put through, he realized it all led to that single moment. He saw God in the good. He saw God in the bad, the highs and the lows. But see, God promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's a promise. That's not a suggestion. That's not a conditional statement. That's not if you are faithful to me every day, then I'll be beside you. No, God promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even when you try to leave me. Even when you run away, even when you curse me, even when you're mad at me or you're frustrated with me because you don't understand the things of this life, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the story I think of, the image I get when I talk about this, is when Job is crying out to God, right? And Job has lost everything. He has lost everything, and he's sitting there and he's asking God why. And the beautiful thing is when you look through Scripture and you watch, you read people crying out to God in frustration or in anger or in confusion, God never once says, don't talk to me. God never says, don't do that. What does God do? He answers them. Now, sometimes they may not like the answer that he gives, but he gives them an answer because he knows they are crying out to him. There is a relationship there. That's what he wants. He wants that relationship with us. And so Job is crying out to God. And God answers, did you create the earth? Can you hold the waters in your hand? And God's not trying to be standoffish or cocky. He's saying, you cannot grasp the things of this universe. I take on the weight of this world. I take on the weight of understanding how to run this entire universe because you can't. And I know that the purpose you don't understand right now, but God's saying, trust me, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jeremiah 29:11, I have plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God is constantly promising us there is a reason for this, but he's also saying it's not always gonna be fun along the way. Right? Jesus says, deny yourself and bear your cross. Right? Pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus himself, God in the flesh, tells us it is not gonna be a comfortable life. And so we have to find a way to have joy and be thankful, have gratitude for the trials and tribulations that come into our life. We have to. We have to do that. And sometimes the only way we're able to do that is to complete surrender to the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. I trust you because, like I said, it will reveal itself. The purpose of the things that are happening in your life will reveal itself. But no one can tell you when. I can't tell you when. Your closest friend can't tell you when. Only God knows. So, see, the grief, the pain, the hurt, and the confusion that we feel in these tribulations that we face, they don't go away overnight. They're not just going to disappear and vanish. Like I said, that friend, my friend and his wife, they still wear that, but they wear it in honor. Because that was their son. And even though he's gone, the memory of him is still here. And knowing that Kennedy only exists because of the loss of Jackson. And so one of the things she does in response to that is she crochets these stuffed animals. And she sends them to the hospital. And the hospital is for a ministry, basically, for the hospital to give to families who lose their children in the hospitals. Just a little token that she can give to help them understand, I know what you're going through. And there is a greater purpose that God has for this. He's going to get you through this. He's going to bring you to a more present moment. But right now, here's the little bit of comfort I can give. And so they're using that situation the best that they can to help relate to others. I mean, how many testimonies do we hear of people, and we know that they can help people that go through the same thing because they've went through it. And God is using them as an encourager, using them as someone who can stand alongside them and say, listen, I know the struggle you're going through, and I can help you through this. I had to go through it. The Lord had to create patience in me. The Lord had to show me how to overcome this. But now that I have, this is the best way for me to use it, to bless you like God has blessed me and say, this is how I made it through. See, we are to rejoice and celebrate the blessings that God has given us. We should rejoice. We should be happy. We should be joyful. We should celebrate our friends and our family and the fact that we have a place to work. We have food on the table. We have a place to live. These are things that we should celebrate. and be thankful for. But it's harder to be thankful for the things that have happened in your life up to that point. The things that you don't want to talk about, the things you don't want to reminisce on, the things you try to push down, the things you say, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. And I promise you, it won't. But see, James tells us not only should we be thankful for the trials and tribulations, we should rejoice in it. We should be happy, not happy, we should be glad, we should be thankful, we should have gratitude that these things have happened to us. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and I go to Matthew 5:10. This is Jesus himself talking at the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven. Now, I caution, not everything that bad happens to you is persecution. Okay, I'm going to caution that. That's a very easy thing to say. Oh, the world's just persecuting me. I want you to focus on for the sake of righteousness. Because if you're being persecuted because it's a consequence of an action that you took, that's not persecution. That's just a consequence. It's for the sake of righteousness. It's for faithfulness to the Lord. And when you are facing trials and tribulations because of your faithfulness to the Lord, that's when it's persecution. And that's when you know, I'm in true relationship with the Lord. I have not strayed, I've not wandered. I am faithful to him because he is faithful to me. And that's when I face the persecution because of righteousness' sake. Again, we talked about this with a youth group just a few weeks ago. Because you say something, if you say something to someone or you do something that is not Christian-like to someone and you face a consequence for that, you're not being persecuted. Right? You're just reaping what you sow. You're facing the consequences of your actions. But when you face persecution because of your hunger and thirst for righteousness, just a little bit early in the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you are hungering and thirsting for those things and you want to be in a relationship with the Lord and then you are facing persecution, that's persecution. Life is uncomfortable. Life is full of sinners and sin, including ourselves, and it's a broken, broken world. But God is saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you. I am walking beside you. You can look into me. You can look unto me. You can lean on me. I want you to look to me and say, I have nothing left. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's another beatitude. Complete dependency upon God. It's nothing that we've done that we are saved by grace. It's all by grace. It's all by everything that God has done for us. And that'll change the way we respond to a situation, because a lot of times we like to look at a situation and say, why did I deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? And God's saying, well, I mean, I could tell you what you've done because I see everything. I could tell you all these things that cause you deserve death. We deserve death on the cross. We deserve eternal separation from the Lord. But because of his grace and his sacrifice on the cross, he's saying, everything that you receive, every blessing that you get, all the things that happen in your life are gifts. It is an extension of my grace to you. And when we look at it, when we change our perspective and look at it that way, it completely changes the way we handle grief. Completely changes the way we handle the tribulations in life. See, I'm reminded of Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's a few things I want to talk about in this verse. First, we all know that God causes all things to work together for good. We like to read this verse and switch the words around and say God causes good things to work. No, that's not what he says. He causes all things to work for the good. That all things, that includes Like, again, the stuff you don't want to talk about. The stuff you don't like to think about. The stuff that causes emotion to swell up inside of you when you think about it, even when you, just for a second. All things, God works all things together for our good. When Joseph was sold into slavery and lied on and thrown into prison, God was working all those things together to eventually get him to where he was, working all of them for his good. But the second part is just as important. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Paul is saying there is a relationship that is necessary here for the Lord to work them all things together for your good. There is a relationship here. Surrendering to the Lord, being indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that is necessary for the Lord to work all those things together for your good. That doesn't mean that good things won't happen to quote-unquote bad people. When I was in college, one of the things we discussed in ethics class was a word, big word called theodicy. And all that really means is, why do bad things happen to good people? And I remember sitting in class, and we read article after article after excerpt from book after excerpt from theologians, from experts, and they were just grasping and trying and trying and trying to explain it. And I remember thinking, there is no explanation. Only God can truly help us understand. And he's saying, we can't understand. Trust in me. Know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust that I know what's best for you, and trust that I'm going to work all things together for your good. And so I was striving for an answer, because I've always thought the same thing. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why are children who are innocent and all dealt bad hands? Why are they born into some houses? Why do these things happen to them? All of these thoughts swirled in my head as I read these articles, and I realized no one really knows. Only God knows. And so that is where that surrender, that complete surrender to who God is, that's where it comes from. So I want to close by saying this. Everyone here has trials, has had trials and tribulations, or maybe you are living through one now. Everyone here, including myself. And as I was reading this, as I was studying for this, as the Lord was speaking to me, images of situations in my life were popping up. I could see them visually. And a lot of you, I'm sure, as you're listening, are thinking about specific situations or specific people in your life with these trials and tribulations. And just know that God is good. And God promises that he is with us and that there is a purpose for this. But also know it's okay if you're not okay yet. It's okay if you're still grieving that situation. It's okay if you're still working through the response to what is going on in your life or what has happened in your life. It's okay. Because what I'm telling you is, we've all been through trials and tribulations, but there is a promise. There's going to be more ahead. There's going to be more that happened. And we have to be able to trust in God and trust him to get us through it. Because it doesn't just stop here. It doesn't just stop here. The trials and tribulations will continue. And so I call on you to trust in the Lord. Know that you may not understand why something happened. There were situations, as I was reading this, there were situations coming to my brain, and I was like, God, I still don't really understand what the purpose of that was. And some of them saying, you may never know why you're on earth. And some of them, he's saying, you just haven't realized the purpose yet. And so I do that as an encouragement to you. I was encouraged reading scripture during this time, saying, thank you, Lord, for everything that I have, but thank you for everything that's happened to me, the good and the bad, because it's made me who I am. And the situations that were beyond my control, right? The situations beyond my control have shaped me to bring me to where I am. If the things in my life didn't happen the exact way that they did, not only would I not be here right now, I probably wouldn't even be in ministry. A lot of us, there's a chance we're not even alive right now. It's all the goodness of God, and all that has happened to us brings us to the present day, to the present time. So I want to encourage you in that today. Enjoy the family time that you've had this week and this weekend. Enjoy that. Be thankful for that. But also take time to say, Lord, I'm thankful for all the things that have happened. That there's joy. I find joy in you, Lord, no matter what has happened around me. I'm not going to focus on happiness, depending on the situation. I'm going to focus on having that joy, that consistent joy that I can lean into you when things happen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We are thankful for all that you've done. We're thankful that you felt you loved us so much, you created us from nothing. You created us. You breathed your life into us. And you said, I want nothing more than have a relationship with them. I want a relationship. You wanted a relationship with us so bad that you came down in the flesh, left your seat in heaven, came down in the flesh, and died for us. And we will never know a greater love than that. And Lord, I pray that through our gratitude, through our joy, that we are able to show the love and the grace and the compassion and the sacrifice that you had for us, even if it's just a little bit, showing that to others and make it contagious, Lord. Let me pray. Amen.
Great job. Great job. As an exclamation point, I can't add to the message because the message is great. Good word. Good word, brother. I will say this as an exclamation point. How many of you value gold? Real gold. Gold coins. I got one hand. I got two. Y'all are. Next message is online. I didn't say you love it. I'm saying you value. You value the gold. You value. If you had a gold coin or real gold, would that be valuable to you? Yes. 10 of you. We're going to get everybody before we finish. I was reminded in his message today that the reason why we go through these is to have our faith, it's over in 1 Peter, how our faith become genuine. It says that you're going through these difficult times and these distresses so that you can prove your faith. That word prove means to be genuine. To have genuine faith that in all of this, that we would be able to give, and the result of that will be able to give praise, honor, and glory to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says the proving of your faith is more precious than gold. So whatever price you want to put on gold, I don't know how much it is, an ounce, but whatever, a couple thousand, whatever it is, whatever that is, God is telling us the genuineness, the proving of your faith, the testing of your faith when it becomes genuine. God says it's more precious than gold. So what is our value system based upon? And that's something we should all think about. That when we go through these difficult times, as he just spoke about, we're all experiencing. We need to be reminded that this testing of my faith is going to make my faith genuine, not phony, not fake, sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't. No, it's very genuine. And that's the reason we have those things. Joseph had it. Joseph had to get to that place to where everything that happened to him brought a genuineness to his life. And that's what God's doing with you and I. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Austin. Thank you so much. We've got some more announcements, I think, Pastor John. So, whatever gold you got in your pocket. Yeah, you know. It's more genuine in the testing of your faith.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Okay, families with kids ages 1 to 12 years old, please, at the end of the service, go to the check-in and pick up a bag, okay? So that's at the check-in back here. And also, say this Wednesday. Okay, the ones that said this Wednesday, our family Christmas fellowship meal will be this Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the FLC. That's the building back here, okay, down the hill here, and it starts at 6. And guess what? You get to bring food. Amen. Okay, cakes, pies. Oh, okay, but that ain't on here. But anyway, bring food enough to share. We will be having a fellowship meal, so that will be at 6 o'clock at the Family Life Center. Please bring food to share, okay? And so this is Wednesday also, but it's not this Wednesday, okay? This Wednesday is the 3rd, right? Okay. Next Wednesday, we will not have Bible study for adults and children. So don't get confused and say, well, you said we wasn't having Bible study Wednesday. That's not the 3rd, okay? We're going to have fellowship on the 3rd, right? Am I clear? Okay. Just want to be clear because I looked at it and said, oh, Lord, this right here is going to be a little tricky. But anyway, after the 3rd, we won't have any other Bible studies in the month of December, okay? And also, this is from Chaplain William Logan. There will be a training for the Blue Cards. That will be December the 9th. And the training for the Blue Cards will get you in the chapel service at the Correction Center. So that's December the 9th at 6 o'clock at Second Baptist Church, okay, in Rutherfordton. All right. And no healing rooms in December. They'll start back up January the 6th, okay? So put that on your calendar. Healing rooms will start back up January the 6th. No healing rooms in December, okay? All right, we all clear? Okay. Now, you get to meet some new family members. We're going to ask our new members to come around at this time, all our new members. Don't be shy. Come on. You family now. We had two that were sick this morning, so they're not here. That would be Mitchell and Melissa, okay? So we're introduced them when they get recovered. Come on around this way. Meet the family. Amen. All right. What we're going to do here, just give us your name, and we'll pass. Y'all come on around this way. Okay. There we go. Now, there you go. Oh, you're going to go all the way over. Okay. That's all right. You're okay. Your family now, okay? Just pass it down. Give us your name.
Okay. Oh, I got the lucky number 1.
Yep.
My name is Kim. These are my children, Kaylin, Kendall, and Caleb. Mouthful, you'll never get it. It's totally okay. Sorry. And I have one that's missing. He's at work today. His name is Joshua.
My name's Matthew. It's good to be here.
I'm Erica. I'm his wife, and this is our daughter, Autumn. Say hi.
Hi.
I'll reintroduce myself. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Kendall.
Yeah, before my mother spoiled the surprise, I'm Caleb.
I'm Holly. I have two daughters, Caitlin and Carly, but they are playing with their little cousins that they haven't seen in a year and a half, so I had to leave them with them today. So nice to be here.
All right. Amen. Give them a hand.
Amen. Welcome to Father's Vineyard. Amen. Amen. Okay, as they be seated, give them a hand. Amen. God bless you. All right. Well, let's stand. And don't forget, we have a first-time visitor with us today. Pastor Terry is going to meet them in the back. Father, we thank you so much for the word this morning. We thank you for Brother Austin sharing the word with us this morning. And God, we can have joy in the midst of our trials, Father. So, Lord, we thank you today for that, Lord. And, God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will seal that word, Father. And, God, as we depart from here, never your presence. Watch over us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.